be talking a little bit today about worship. Now, when we came up before the altar here, that was a form of your worship. Because what did you have your mind on? Did you have it on what you were going to have for lunch? Did you have it on something else that was off the wall? No. You had it on the Lord and how He was going to meet you. Isn't that what the altar is for? It's to worship Him in spirit and in truth. So I want you to open up John 9, the book of John. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. John 9, verse 31. John 9, 31. Now this is a story where Jesus heals the blind man. Let me see if it was Jesus that healed the blind man, or was it? Yeah, Jesus healed the blind man. And then it goes into the scripture that I'm going to read today. Very, very short message, but a very profound message. And it's this, verse 31. Now we know that God hears sinners. Did everybody? You read that right. We know that God does not hear sinners. I can speak 500 hours on God does not hear sinners. The sinner's prayer is a hoax, people. There's no such thing as sinner's prayer. There's no such thing as a sinner's prayer. And I'm going to tell you why in a minute. But it says, we know that God does not hear sinners. But if you're a worshiper, then He hears you. There's a lot of people that have missed the mark because they said the sinner's prayer. And then they went off and lived their life like the devil. I bet you know a few. Now we know that God hears not sinners. So what does He hear? So let's say a sinner goes, I heard the word and I want to know Jesus. Does God hear that? Yes, because his heart is worshiping God. See, the difference is worshiping God. The disciples were told to go out and make disciples. He didn't say go out and get them saved, have them say the sinner's prayer. They just went out and taught. And then it was between them and the Lord, the Holy Ghost, to bring them around. Because the Bible says that the Lord draws people through His Spirit. Now we can get out there, we can share the gospel, we can give out our Bibles, we can invite them to church, but you can't make them drink. See, the Lord looks at a repentant heart. That's a heart of worship. The goodness of God brings us to repentance. You know, I was saved through hell, fire, and brimstone in the Baptist church. You know why? Here's why. Because I didn't want to go to hell. But I did not know of a loving God yet. All I know is what I wanted to avoid. Now let me ask you a question. When you have a relationship with somebody, do you want them to be with you in a relationship because they didn't want to be somewhere else? Or do you want them to be in a relationship with you because they love you? Same with God. He says, you might not want to go to hell, but that doesn't mean you're coming to heaven either. Do you love me? Do you keep my commandments? Do you worship me in spirit and in truth? Jeremiah 31:3, it says, the unfailing kindness of God draws us. Now, I might have been saved out of fear of going to hell, but I don't think I was really saved until I said, Lord, I worship you and I love you. Then I had a relationship with the Father. God wants us to worship Him in spirit and in truth. Now, let's look at verse 31b. I have 31a and 31b. If a man be a worshiper of God and does his will, him he hears. So the Lord will hear your prayer because of where your heart is. Today is a day that people are worshiping the football game. Can you agree? People are like, yeah, it's here. $7,500 a ticket to $25,000 a ticket. $1 million for a box seat to be in Las Vegas today. I wish they'd spend that money with God. Wow, what a dividend they'll come back. Because I tell you something, I read something about this. I thought, why is the price so high? Have you ever wondered why the prices are so high? Well, I found out why. Because they'd rather the rich people attend the games and the poor people not. They want you to go on the TV so that you buy the product. It's all about the money. Now let me ask you a question. When you're out there worshiping the people, are you praying for them to respond and answer your requests? Absolutely not. We go to God for that. See, how are we really worshiping God when we ask Him for things? Now I'm going to read John 9 again, on 9:37 through 38. And Jesus said to him, the guy that was born blind, you have seen him, and it is he that talks with you. So the first person he saw when he became sightful was Jesus. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. See, your heart is where you worship. Who are you worshiping today? Are you worshiping yourself? Are you worshiping your spouse? Let me give you a clue. Who's on your mind all the time? That's who you're worshiping. Now, it doesn't mean you can't think and do other things and such. Absolutely not. But for the majority of your life, what are you thinking? How to get well? How I need to get well? Are you worshiping your sickness and dis-ease? Are you worshiping God? I'm talking to myself. John 4:24 says, we must worship him in spirit and in truth. Okay, how do you worship him in spirit and in truth? Have you ever asked yourself that question? I have an answer God gave to me. When you cease from your own agenda, get yourself off your mind. So this morning, wasn't feeling the greatest this morning. And when Tom and I began to talk, I got out of myself. You start feeling better when you're around other people.
Amen.
But when you're all by yourself, you can get yourself down in the dumps, can't you? We need each other. I need you. And it's nice to hear a friendly voice on the other side of the line sometimes just to help me get out of that slump. I don't know why things are happening right now like that, but I'll tell you what, I'm pushing through it and I'm plowing on. So the worship we have is according to your own heart, not our will, but God's will. So how do you know when you are worshiping in spirit and in truth? When God answers you quickly. You don't have to go and get in a position, lock yourself in a room, and wait for an answer. Now, you can do that. I like the high road. There's two roads, the low road and the high road. I'm going to go on the high road where when I worship God, I don't even have to ask the question, or I don't even have to make a prayer request. He's already sending the answer. Isn't that our God? He's already sending the answer. There's two roads. Both are okay, but I like the high road. God inhabits the praises and the worship of his people. Mark 7:7. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are merely human rules. What are we living by? Are you thinking of what a man said about it or what God said about it? You know, for a few years I've been in this church. And in the morning, every now and then, I would say, Lord, I want to please so-and-so. I'm not going to say who it is, but I want to please so-and-so. So what do I do today to please that person? And I'm like, why? Why am I going there? But that's what I did, because I had fear of man. I had man more on my throne than God. Of course, that's all different now, because I read that scripture. They worshiped in vain. I don't want to worship in vain. Do you want to worship in vain? Do you want to have God come to you and say, who are you worshiping? I want to worship God and God alone. Matthew 15, 7 through 9 says, their hearts are far from me, you hypocrites. The people draws nigh unto me with their mouth and honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. There's a lot of churches that teach you have to do this, you have to dress this way, you have to be these ways. All these doctrines, we talked about it in the Bible study at one time, where you just got to get rid of all the doctrines and let's just do the doctrine of Christ, and that is to be free. I have this shirt, and I wear it from time to time. It says, I'm sorry, I can't hear you over my freedom.
Ah.
Because men will put you in bondage. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
What you think men thinks will put you in bondage. We are to be free from the laws and commandments of men. It says Romans 8:2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ hath made us free from the law of sin and death. I think that's a great thing to hold on to today, is knowing that we are free today. Does anybody feel like you're heavy or in bondage or oppressed? If you do, then you need to take this scripture and say, the Lord has made me free. That means we're looking on what man thinks, what man requires of us, what commandments of men are, instead of what God thinks. And he thinks really well of you. I'm going to bring up David, King David, for a minute. And you might know the story of how he worshipped God and he danced. He danced before God. Do you know why he danced before God? Does anybody remember the story? Well, before he danced before God, the Ark of the Covenant was in a city, and he was afraid of the Ark of the Covenant because everybody died who came near the Ark of the Covenant. And he did not want the Ark of the Covenant near him because he didn't want to die. Well, he found out that, Obededom was being blessed because of the Ark. So David goes, oh, I think I'll bring it to my place. So he brings it in to the city. And he was so excited that he danced before God because he didn't die. And so he was wearing, they say he danced naked. Now, I don't remember seeing that. All I know is in my Bible, in the King James Version, it says he wore an ephod. An ephod is a little apron. So he was dancing around and just praising God, thanking God he didn't get struck dead. Isn't that cool? Isn't that sometimes what we do? Thank you, God, for letting me live another day, right? Then Michael saw him worshiping God. And she didn't like it. What happened to Michael, his wife? She was barren and never had a child her whole life. She judged someone else's worship. But I'm going to tell you today, let's not judge each other's worship. If somebody wants to come up and pray on the altar, hallelujah. Somebody wants to raise hands and sing and dance and whatever, let them. Worship God and not what man thinks you should do or not do. Isn't that how the Pentecostals are, though? They're supposed to be all over the place. So, I just threw that out there. So as I was preparing for this message, I recalled Becky saying to me one day, why don't you talk about widows sometime? So I wasn't thinking much about it at the moment. I thought, yeah, I'll put that on the side burner and I'll think about widows. Well, as I was preparing for the message, guess what God brings to me? A scripture about widows. But I was looking at worship. And I go, okay, well, let's take a look at this real quick. Let's look at Acts 6:1. Acts 6. Now, the reason why I'm in Acts is because that's my Bible study reading for the day. And it seems like every time I open up the Bible to the day I'm supposed to read is exactly what I'm going to be talking about on Sunday. That's God. It says, and in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Let's think about that. As a church, do we neglect our widows? We have several in here now. We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. I don't know how many. Yeah, 9, 10. We have widows in here. Are we serving our widows like we need to be? When the people said that to them, Peter, and he said, I need to assign people to help with the ministration so I can focus on the Word of God. He says, I cannot do everything. It says right here, it says that they needed to continue preaching the Word of God and cannot be distracted from it. So he assigned people to help the widows or to do events or do activities, do outreach, so that the person that's teaching the Word of God has the ability and the time and effort to focus on that. The Bible says in James 1:27, to not neglect the widows or the orphans, but to visit them. Now, like I said earlier, the widows are alone. A lot of them are alone in their house, all by themselves. Let's visit them more. I think that's going to be awesome because then we're doing what God had required for us to do, is to visit the widows in their affliction and their pain. Stephen, remember Stephen, the one that was stoned to death eventually, and he had the face of an angel. You know when he had the face of an angel? Not only when he was being stoned, but when he was preaching a message. He gave a really good message. You got to read it. It's in Acts 7. He was chosen along with three others to do the administration to the widows so that the men of God can continue. So I'm going to bring up Anna. She was a widow. Luke 2, 36 through 38. And she was also a prophet. There was also a prophet Anna, the daughter of Penuel of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. Do we have any very old in here? She had lived with her husband 7 years and then was a widow until she was 84 years old. She never left the temple, but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. Sounds like somebody in here that I know. Coming up to them at the very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child, which is Jesus, to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. She knew the Messiah was coming. She was praying and fasting for that day. You know, we have a key word here, and it's worship. She worshipped. She worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. When you're a widow and you're by yourself, when you worship God, Becky, I think you can attest to this, you're like flying like a kite when you put that Christian music on and you start worshiping God. But when it's off and you're silent and alone, you're depressed. You're oppressed. You're sad. But when you throw on that music and you kick it into high gear, that's what widows are to do, and that's what this widow did. She prayed without ceasing, and she sang probably, and she worshiped up until she was 84 years old. That's a long time, right, Sally? You've been worshiping and praising God every day like that. We have a lot of amazing widows in here. Gracie, we have a lot, don't we? Worship is the key. Widows indeed have great suffering. They have suffered so greatly. But there's also others that suffer loss. Child, a job, health. My friend is 74 years old, and she's been single for 45 years, and she wants to get married. She's dating a guy that's a couple of years younger than her, and she thinks she's going to get married. So hallelujah, praise God, it's never too late. I remember my mother said when my dad passed away, I am never getting married. That door's closed, honey. I ain't letting nobody in my door. You know, she said no. She just knew that she was going to be single. And she was by herself for 25 years after my father passed away. Anna worshipped the Lord, and she was a widow. I'm going to talk a little bit more about widows, and then we'll get closing here. 2 Samuel 14. 2 Samuel 14, 4 through 6. There was a widow that came to a king and said, my two sons are at odds with each other, and one killed the other. What are you going to do? She was looking for help. She was looking for help from somebody in leadership. We as widows, or people who are widows, who have widows or had any loss, we need to go to God. God, what do you want me to do with this? Some of us are praying for family members because of the breach or destruction or people aren't getting along. Don't stop praying. Like we have an example with Gracie. She, her kids were like, oh, all out there. And now they're coming back one by one because she never stopped praying. She's the first person to the altar. Do you think God's going to meet her? Oh, yeah. Don't stop bringing things to our Lord and King. So there's a promise if you do this. God will establish the borders of the widow. I just love going to Becky's house. If you've never been to her house, you've got to go visit Becky. Her yard is immaculate, and it's just, I just sit out there. It's like going to a park or something. It's just the most beautiful place that I've ever been in. The Lord has established her borders. Isaiah 1, 16 through 18 says, plead for the widow. Plead for the widow. And then Exodus 22, 22 says, you shall not afflict a widow. How do you deal with this kind of great loss? Whether you're a widow, whether you have lost somebody, a child, a job, your health. We deal with loss through worship. Greg said it earlier. I am so glad for Sundays because I get to be here among you guys. Look at the churches filling up, people. We are worshiping God and he's drawing people. Psalm 34:18 says, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are having a crushed spirit. Then John 14 goes on to say, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in me, believe in also him that sent me. And of course, Joshua 1:9, you got to get this in your spirit. Have not I commanded you? In other words, it's not an option, it's not a suggestion, it's a commandment to be strong and of good courage. Now, if you are having fear, or if you're not courageous, or if you're dismayed, you better call on somebody and say, hey, I need prayer. I need help. I need your wisdom. I need your encouragement. Whatever you think on is what you're worshiping. So if you're at home thinking about, oh, I feel awful, get on the phone. Go to the neighbor. Do some. Get out of yourself because you're going to go right down the pit because that's what the enemy does. He yells at you and tells you lies and wants you to believe it. And you get out of it by getting somebody else in your life that knows God. So you can meditate on what is right. Who do you have on your mind and who are you worshiping? Do you know that some worship nature? Have you ever seen people, Mother Nature, I worship nature? Evidence of God is in nature, but it's not God. There's a scripture that says, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worship and serve the creature more than the creator? I know people who do that. I mean, I've got a friend that says, nature's my God. I mean, flat out tells me that. Nature's my God. Well, who made the nature? But well, let's not get into that right now. So, in closing, whoever is the most concerning to you, you worship. Think about it. Your child, your health, your job. The worship of our heart leads us to repentance and truth. The worship pulls us out of grief and sadness and pity. Worship is the key to living a joyful life. And I'm going to close with this little diddly song without music. I worship you. I worship you. The reason I live is to worship you. The reason we live is to worship the Lord, to serve Him in His holy hill, to hear His words, to know what He wants for our lives today. That's how we worship the Lord. So, Father, thank you, God, for teaching us just a little bit on how to worship you with our whole heart, our whole strength, and our whole mind. By putting you on the throne, by taking ourselves out of the way and putting you first. And I thank you, Father, for ministering to each person here as you met them at the altar, as you loved on them today, as you continue showing your greatness, just like the Bible study today, how your mercy and your kindness is everlasting. It started over 2,000 years ago and it continues today. While the musicians are getting ready, I'm going to read a poem to you that I read some time ago, but I'm going to read it again, that I wrote in 2015. It's called, Who is Sitting on Your Throne? We sing songs of glory, how the Lord has filled the earth, how He made all of creation and then gave new birth. We talk of all His blessings and promises He said. We thank Him for the way into our lives He's led. We pray to Him in petition when we have a need, and thank Him for the answer, though it's just a seed. We believe Him for our desires according to His word, and thank Him for the times our lives He's restored. We cast out evil spirits, lay hands upon the sick. We pray in faith for restoring every life to Him. You have prayed like this, and lives have been changed, but the life that seems stuck is yours and remains the same. The things you pray for others come to pass without a hitch, but yourself, you feel like you've fallen into a ditch. When you pray for others, it doesn't work for you. You feel the Lord has abandoned and will not come through. In the darkness of the night, you call out for His help, but there is silence on the other end, and nothing can be felt. You find yourself faking being a Christian every day, but inside you are crying for God to help you on your way. You want it to be real. You want to feel His love, but something is blocking the blessings from above. We know what the Word says, the promises we claim. We know that we have these things if prayed in Jesus' name. So what's the problem? What is going on? The question we need to ask is, who is sitting on your throne? Amen.